Each weekday, a member of the community is invited to Coffee at KYUK to discuss news and information relevant to Bethel and the Kuskokwim Delta. Sometimes light, sometimes serious, Coffee at KYUK is where our community connects.
Hello, 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 up and down the Cusco. I'm also shouting out to the Yukon and the coast. Grady Deaton here, Coffee at KYUK. As usual, coffee and oatmeal on my sideboard to start my day heart healthy and energized, sharing my energy with you, and also in these times of concern, sharing my concern as well. Today, I'm sharing my connection with KYUK's own Katie Basil. Good morning, Katie.
Good morning, Grady.
A pleasure to be with you. And also on the line, Mitchell Forbes and Dr. Ellen Hodges of YKHC. Good morning to each of you.
Morning.
Good morning.
And without any further ado, Katie, take it away.
Great. Thank you. Good morning and welcome to Coffee at KYUK. I'm your host, Katie Basil. There remain no confirmed cases of COVID-19 in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. The Yukon-Kuskokwim Health Corporation is nevertheless preparing its staff and facilities to care for a possible surge of patients in the region. To discuss YKHC's latest efforts, I'm joined by YKHC Chief of Staff, Dr. Ellen Hodges, and Interim Public Relations Director, Mitchell Forbes. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
I have a question about travel restrictions to start. Villages around the region have put travel restrictions into place to protect communities from the coronavirus. Have those travel restrictions impacted YKHC's ability to provide patient care, and if so, how?
That's a really good question. I think it's important to understand that the intent behind these travel restrictions are that individual villages have adopted are similar to the travel restrictions our governor has adopted for the state. And the intent is really to attempt to reduce the spread of virus. But just like the travel restrictions statewide, it also helps or it also prevents us from doing some things in some villages. I think the intent is very good, and I think the concept of reducing the spread of the virus is very good. One of the things that can happen is if we need to have a patient travel from one of the villages, say to Bethel or even to Anchorage for further treatment, and then travel back home. We're kind of having to work on that on a case-by-case and village-by-village basis to kind of make sure that that patient can safely travel and safely get home. And if we need to get, for example, if lab work gets drawn or testing gets done in a village, having that test result or sample get to Bethel can sometimes be difficult if there are limitations on the flights in and out of villages.
And I have a question about intensive care unit beds. YKHC is not licensed to provide ICU or intensive care unit beds, but to prepare for a coronavirus surge, I understand you've created 8 higher acuity beds. How do these beds differ from regular inpatient beds?
That's a good question. So we are not licensed for the number of beds that would potentially be available in a surge. So these beds would be used sort of under the emergency declaration that the governor has declared. And the higher acuity beds is just a different area of our hospital designated for patients that would need higher intensity care. They have nothing about them are different than our usual hospital beds, except for the ability to do more intensive monitoring and the access to different types of services that patients who need higher acuity would need. Normally, those patients would be sent by medevac to Anchorage. And I just want to be clear that that will still be our plan if the Anchorage hospitals have the capacity to accept our higher acuity patients. We will obviously continue to use our regular referral patterns to send these higher acuity patients into Anchorage. This surge plan would only be enacted if there were no available ICU beds in Anchorage.
Okay, thanks. And how many people to date has YKHC tested for COVID-19?
I'm not sure how many people we tested overnight, but we have tested well over 50 people.
And do you think YKHC needs to increase its testing capacity at this point?
That's an excellent question. We have expanded our testing criteria quite a bit. So there's two types of testing we can do. There's the testing that we're allowed to send to the lab at the state of Alaska, the state virology lab, and they have very strict criteria with regards to who can be tested. It can be found at the DHSS website. But starting a couple of weeks ago, we were allowed to do testing and send it to a private lab. So as soon as that was allowed, we immediately started sending tests. About half our tests go to the state lab and about half go to the private lab. So we increased our criteria, or expanded our criteria, rather, for patients to get tested. What we're limited by now is the testing supplies or the testing kits. This is a nationwide problem. This isn't something that YKHC is facing alone, but there's not enough of the kits and swabs really to go around. And we're working with the state of Alaska and the Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium to try to get, you know, more supplies of testing. And our supply right now is adequate, but of course, we anticipate the need to increase as time goes on.
And the last time I spoke with Dr. Bates on Coffee at KYUK, and she said that the test turnaround time was roughly 5 to 7 days. Are you still looking at a 5 to 7 day turnaround time?
Yes, we are. And we're hoping that soon, and by soon I mean sometime in May or June, that we might have the availability of in-house testing. So we have a machine called a Cepheid machine that we currently use to test our flu and RSV patients. And they added an extra COVID-19 cartridge to this test panel. We have been told that it's possible that we would be eligible to receive shipping for that cartridge sometime in May. It takes time to confirm and validate that test and run the quality controls that are necessary to make sure that the test is accurate. So hopefully we will be able to have the availability of in-house testing. So this would be available in Bethel only, and the results would be available in a couple of hours. So it's not the rapid test that everyone is talking about on the news from Abbott, which is like a 5-minute test. It's a PCR test available on our Cepheid machine.
That would be excellent.
Mm-hmm.
And how is the drive-through test site operation going? That just started last week, I believe.
It's going really well. So patients need to call for an appointment. So I think that has been a little bit of confusing for people. So it's people need to. There's a number on the outside of the tent, and people need to call that number. And if they're past screening and they meet our criteria for testing, we'll set them up an appointment. The reason for the appointment and not just walk up is to kind of keep everyone safe, including our staff who are running the tent, so that we know who's coming and the reason for the testing. Both the CDC and the World Health Organization, as well as the Department of Health and Social Services, recommend not testing asymptomatic people who don't have any symptoms at all. So that's one of the reasons that we require people to have appointments, because we need to do a nurse screening before we can schedule people. Staff here are having the appointment set up, and then the patients are showing up at their designated time, and we're getting them tested. So it's going really well.
Great. And I know things are changing so rapidly right now with new mandates and protocols. Has YKHC rolled out any new protocols in the last week or so?
Not that I can think of, Katie. One of the things that we kind of struggle with is some of these recommendations for the use of homemade masks that you will see on the news and see sometimes in other hospitals. And we are in conversation all the time with the state of Alaska and the NTHC on the recommendations for universal masking, which is one of the things that some of the hospitals in the United States have gone to. And that means that everyone who's in the hospital and every patient that comes in the hospital wears a mask. And the reason for this idea or concept is that some people who get infected with this novel human coronavirus don't have any symptoms at all, or they have very mild symptoms, and these people can still be infectious. And so the idea would be that everyone should wear a mask. The problem with this is that then you use up all of your personal protective equipment, including your masks and gowns, et cetera, before you truly have an outbreak. So this is something that we're struggling with and working with the state to kind of come up with guidelines that will both protect the current supply of PPE that we have, but also protect our patients and staff. So there's probably be more to come on that. And I just want to say once again how very grateful I am for everyone out there who's sewing masks using our sterile wrap for our staff and for our patients. I'm just beyond grateful at all the effort and time that has gone into that.
And speaking of that effort, what are other ways that people in Bethel or in the region can support YKHC through this outbreak?
It would be really useful if people would follow the governor's mandate on sheltering in place and good hand hygiene, covering their cough, and letting us know when they feel sick. I think there has been, certainly in Bethel and possibly in some of the surrounding villages, a reluctance to shelter in place. And so the governor's mandate really is, you know, stay at home and don't leave unless you have essential reasons to leave your house. Different than a quarantine. In a quarantine, people are required to stay home and they can't leave their house, and other people have to bring them food and that kind of thing. So for shelter in place, my understanding of the governor's mandate is that you can leave for essential things. But it would help to help flatten the curve and reduce the amount of infections potentially here if people could follow the governor's mandate and shelter in place.
Great. So stay home, everybody.
Yeah, exactly.
Moving on to our audience question, we've been soliciting questions from our Facebook followers, and this one is from Ignatius George. If the YKHC hospital runs out of room for patients, will sub-regional clinics be asked to keep patients there? And if so, how prepared are the SRC facilities and staff for a scenario like this?
That's a really good question, and I sincerely hope not. But I should mention that the SRC clinics already have to keep patients from time to time, especially when the weather is bad. So you can imagine a scenario where there's a blizzard or a bad storm and a sick patient has to stay in a subregional clinic for a period of time. So our staff are already well-trained and well-equipped to handle that kind of patient. So, but I sincerely hope it won't come to that. Hopefully the sick patients will all be able to come to us.
And Dr. Hodges or Mitchell, do you have anything else you'd like to share, any updates from YKHC?
Yeah, hi, this is Mitchell. One of the big things that we or my group has been working on this last week is we just last night pushed a really large update to YKHC's COVID-19 page. And so if you visit us, ykhc.org/COVID-19, we just put out kind of a whole new section of our website that includes resources for caring for someone with COVID-19. So we obviously don't have any cases in the YK Delta yet, but we're starting to prepare to have some resources there. Then we also have, we've put out some flyers and other education materials. There's a section on that website called COVID-19 Resources that we have PDFs of pretty much everything we've published so far about COVID-19 that folks can download and print and spread around.
Thanks, Mitchell. We'll add that to the show notes as well. And anything else from you, Dr. Hodges?
Nope, just everyone stay healthy out there.
Great. Thank you so much. I think we'll go ahead and wrap up there today. Just a quick reminder to our listeners that every day on Coffee at KYUK, we'll be speaking with local organizations like YKHC. To learn more about the COVID-19 outbreak and how we can be prepared and support one another. If you have any questions about the novel coronavirus, send them to us and we'll ask them. You can reach us by email at news@kyuk.org or by messaging KYUK on Facebook. Thank you so much, and I'll turn it back over to you, Grady.
Don't turn it completely over. I'm just curious how my number one fan's doing over there. At your house, you have a young boy who's probably bouncing off the walls with his young brother.
Owen he's doing well. He is a big Grady Deaton fan. Anybody with a microphone, really, is a big fan of microphones. No, our kids are both doing great. I think they're actually loving the extra time with mom and dad. We've been getting outside and practicing social distancing as much as we can. But, yeah, they're doing really well. How are things at the station?
Clean. Very clean.
Excellent.
Very, very clean. And we've had one of our compatriots who is off of quarantine for just regular flu symptoms now back in the station, so it's a little less quiet, which is nice.
Great. So KYUK is a lonely place right now, I'd imagine, but I'm glad you have a little more company 6 feet away.
And people call in, of course, too, and birthday line's been a real real hoot. I encourage people to call in the birthday line weekdays from 3:30 to 4. It's your source for community and connection, and it's a great place to be awesome to each other. That's what I think. But that's my story. I'm sticking to it. Katie Basil, thank you for hosting Coffee at KYUK today for the coronavirus update from YKHC. And enjoy your time with your family and stay healthy.
Thank you, Grady. Have a good day.
You do. Have a nice day. Well, I guess that's my story. I can get off the air, get over to 90.3 FM, The Mix, and switch over to Denali Jams. If you haven't caught that and you're in Bethel, I would encourage you to do that. 90.3 FM, The Mix, weekdays 9 to noon. Denali Jams from our friends at KRFF in Fairbanks. And Ann Fears, excellent DJ, connecting us with Athabascan fiddle music and our neighbors and friends all across the region. Coffee at KYUK weekdays after the news, and then again we repeat the show at the noon hour. I encourage you to get involved by calling 543-3131 or emailing coffee at kyuk.org. Of course, if you have a COVID-19 related show idea, I encourage you to reach out to news at kyuk.org. We will be carrying that 5:30 with the Senator. We'll be talking at 5:30. I'll be promoting it more throughout the day, but we'll be carrying that today, and we'll be airing our regularly scheduled news at the 5 p.m. after Senator Murkowski, and also on 90.3 FM, The Mix, at its regularly scheduled time. Leaves me just one thing left to say to you listeners, and that's to remind you to not forget the most important thing I say each day, and that's don't forget to be awesome to each other. Each weekday, a member of the community is invited to coffee at KYUK to discuss news and information relevant to Bethel and the Kuskokwim Delta.
Sometimes light, sometimes serious, Coffee at KYUK is where our community connects.
If you'd like to suggest a guest or arrange to be on with us yourself, contact us at coffee@kyuk.org or call 543-3131 today.